computer is still booting up. It's still struggling to survive. Okay, well, Natseach, Almus Labein Mizmar, Mizmar Lidav. What does this mean? Lamatseach for the conductor, Almus, over the death. Mus simply means, now there's a very big dilemma here, and we'll read the Minchasha in a moment, is that when it says over here, Almus, is this one word or is this two words? If it's two words, it means al, regarding. Mus means death. The death, labain. Labain means simply, I mean, there are many different translations of the boy, the child. Mizmar l'David. Is that really what it means? Is that what it means? So there are two major questions, the first pasuk. And the first pasuk is critical to understand the entire theme of the entire Mizmar. With regard to what event is David HaMelech composing this Mizmar? Is he composing it? Who's the Ben? Maybe if we know who Laban is, then we can then know what it means, Almus. Can this Almus mean regarding the death, or does Almus mean it's one word? Almus means Alamoy, Alamus. Alamus is found in Mizmar Memches, which means Alamus means forever. Lamatseach Alamus, a composition that is perpetual. This is something which is timely. Alamus. Hu yinahagehu Alamus.
Almus.
Almus. Hu yina Almus, but it's one word.
According,
right, so that's what we're going to discuss. Is the word almus, is it one word or is it two words? If it's two words, it means al regarding death. If it's one word, it means almus, it means forever. Hu yinahagenu, Hashem will lead us, He will guide us forever. Some want to say the word almus is the plural of oilam. There's the oilam hazeh and there's oilam haba. Hashem, He guides us in this world, and Hashem guides us in the next world.
Olamos?
Right, correct. Olamos. Similar to Olamos, another form of the word Olamos. Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, guides us in both worlds. It means forever. So then if you want to say that, Lam Natseach, here is a composition or a musical song, Almos. Almos that is unique in that it is timely. This Mizmar is something which can be said at any occasion. It can be said now, today. It can be said 30 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 100 years from now, in the next world. This is something which is a timely Mizmar, which does not limit it to any particular situation.
Timely,
thank you. A timely Mizmar. Now, what does it mean, Labain? So does Labain mean a child? You know, if you would say it means a child, then it would talk and make sense why it's called timely, because children represent, the kinds of children represent, you know, generation represents the future. So then here, indeed, it represents almus, it's timely. Or does word Laban refer to a specific person? Now, according to, well, I'll read everything inside. Let me just first give an overview and announce, and then we go inside. Some say the word almus, Bain, refers to David HaMelech had a child. He had a child from Bas Sheva. When David HaMelech saw Bas Sheva bathing on the roof, at that point in time, her husband was still alive. Her husband was Uriah Hachiti. Uriah Hachiti, he was in the front lines, he was in the battlefield. And the custom was that any man who went to battle would write a get for his wife. So they were divorced. Bathsheba was divorced from her husband. And David saw this young girl, Bathsheba, on the roof. And he took her, he lived with her. And then he realized that there would be political fallout from what he had done. So he went and called back. He called back Uriah Hachiti. There's a cover-up. Okay, there was a cover-up. He called back Uriah Hachiti back from the battlefield that he should go home to his wife. And that way, when Bathsheba would give birth 9 months from now, everyone would attribute the child to who? To Uriah. Because if David HaMelech called back Uriah from the battlefield and told him to go home to his wife, so then that's where the child was attributed to him, not to David. What did Uriah Hachiti say? I'm not going home. I don't want to go home. I want to go back to my comrades. I want to go back to my people in the battlefield and fight. So then David was stuck, because then now if he's not going home, then how in the world did Bathsheba get pregnant? And it's going to come out that it was from him. And that's not going to look good for David. So David went and he had him killed. David had him indirectly killed. But in any event, this baby was indeed born 9 months later, and this baby died. The baby died right away. And Chazal say that if David would have waited until Uriah died on the battlefield naturally, and then he would have taken Bathsheba as a wife afterwards, then he would have had this child. This child would not have died, and this child would have been the Melech HaMashiach. It's a medrash. The Chol, am I saying correctly?
No, I don't recall that. He sent him into danger.
He sent him into danger, and thus indirectly had Yehush died. When he came back, he spoke to David disrespectfully. He was considered in David's eyes a moired b'malchus, and David sent him to the front lines, and the front lines, Mimela, in the place of danger, and he was killed in the battlefield. Or Yachidi. And then Bathsheba gave birth 9 months later from this child that David fathered when Uriah was still alive, which Nasan Hanavi told David he did an Avera, and this baby died. And this baby, David HaMelech mourned over this baby. Subsequently, he married Bathsheba, and then he had Shlomo HaMelech, that's the lineage of Malchus, gave Klalich, Shlomo HaMelech. But before Shlomo HaMelech, David had this child. And this child died. The Chazals tell us that had David waited until and not taken Bathsheba prematurely, and things would have played out naturally, that Uriah Chiti without David having anything to do with anything would have died in the battlefield naturally, and David then would have married Bathsheba, and David would not have had any conversation, anything to do whatsoever with Uriah, then the child, that this first child, this neshama that was sent down from heaven, would have lived, and it would have been the Melech HaMashiach. And this child, but now that David brought down to this world this child through an act that was not 100% proper, Kol Oimer David Choto Eine Elatoya, yet Nasan Hanavi said, David, you have sinned, and David confessed Chotasi. So there was some microscopic degree of impropriety in what David HaMelech has done. And thus, this neshama that came down to this world in a state of not 100% perfection, it came down into this world in a state of chet, died prematurely. Okay, so David HaMelech here on this mizmor is coming to eulogize this child. This child. Good morning, girl. So, there's a very big difficulty in saying this interpretation. Why? What is the difficulty in this interpretation? Because nothing in this mizmor has anything to do with this child. Zero, zilch, zippo. And therefore, how can you say that this mizmor is discussing that bain? Also, the grammar of la bain is also incorrect. Al matzeach al mus habain, not la bain. And also, if you want to go say that the word al mus is one word, not two words, almus, which means forever, a timely composition. Labain, regarding the death of this child, what does it mean? Almos. So this is strike one. Okay, what are the other ideas? This is one thing. I'll read inside all the portions. We'll give you some overview. The other idea. This to me is very, very fascinating. This I really get a kick out of, is that it refers to novel. What was his second name? I forget it. Right. Novel HaYisraeli. Was that his name? Novel, maybe I'm getting mixed. Akarmeli. What was the ma'isa? David HaMelech, David HaMelech was running away from Shaul. I should have really looked up the whole story. David HaMelech was I think after Shaul already died, and David already was the king. He was the king in Chevron. David and Ishbosheth. Shaul's son took the Malchus for 2 years. Ishbosheth. And not everyone accepted David as the Melech. David's Malchus was not yet solidified. For the first 7 years, David was king for how many years? For for 40 years. For 7 years he was the king in Hebron, and for 33 years he was the king over the entire Klal Yisrael. I always like to joke, Man Malkei Rabbanan. Who's a king? A Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham, you can't be a Talmud Chacham unless you know the whole Shas. And how do you learn Shas? You learn Daf Yomi. How long does it take? What's the cycle of Daf Yomi? 7.5 years. So let's put away the fraction of the half. David first had to learn Daf Yomi, this one cycle. And then he was the Melech for 33 years over the whole Klal Yisrael. Man Malkei Rabbanan. You have to know Shas to be eligible, get a bechin on the whole Shas, to be eligible to be the Melech of Klal Yisrael. So he spent 7 years in Hebron. Hebron, he learned in the Hebron Yeshiva. But Rav David Kohn. He learned, he's Rav Shiva, Rav David Kohn is Rav Shiva, Hebron Yeshiva. He learned for 7 years. So David was king for 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Yerushalayim. But during those first 7 years when he was king in Hebron, his Malchus was not solidified and he was very hungry. He needed food and supplies. He didn't have a backer. They didn't have those days charity online programs where you can, the charity campaigns. The best yeshiva today is Chaim Berlin. They still have not succumbed to a charity. charity campaign. Rav Shlomo Halliwell doesn't allow it. Not yet. Okay, you well, don't worry, he'll kill. Eich
daflu gibayim. Let's see how we do this here.
The dinner.
We'll see.
I really think that every yeshiva now does two things. They do a dinner plus a charity campaign, and they raise, some of them raise even more money on. But that doesn't take away from the dinner. They do both, and I really think it's going to backfire on them because we ask too much, and when everyone is asking for too much, it's not going to go. It's not going to go. But Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva has held back because the internet is treif. Do you see Torah Das's campaign?
But the money is
yes. No. Rav Shlomo Halliwell doesn't want to get involved with the internet. Yes, that's why. Rav Shlomo Halliwell says no. Do you see the Torah Das did? Woohoo!
What did they do?
You don't know what's going on. You didn't get 20 telephone calls and 20 and emails and videos. You're not in the loop. And every yeshiva, everyone, Hatzalah did this. They did a phenomenal job at Hatzalah. They really set the tone how to do it the right way. Tardy Time does it. Yeah. I know Ari Yitzchak did it. I know Ari Yisrael in Boston does it. Every yokel does this now. And it's such chachma, such deception. It's a psychological phenomenal. It's a phenomenal psychological. You take it in your mind, this whole technique. You have a whole technique. Got to be a professional fundraiser. You got to know the technique. It's brilliant. It works. We'll see how long it works for until it backfires. But it's working so far for all these organizations. They're doing pretty good. In any event,
$100.
Match, double, triple match, quadruple match, baloney. Yeah.
Since you mentioned that David started out his kingdom in Hebron as capital, one of my favorite congressmen is a student of the Bible, and he told us, COA was down in Washington, he said, this is before Trump, that there's so much controversy whether Jerusalem should be the capital or not of Israel. Let's compromise. King David, his capital at first was Hebron. Let's make the capital in Hebron.
Interesting.
It was a joke.
I know it's a joke, but it's interesting what he said.
He's a very clever guy.
It's very interesting what he said. David was king in Hebron for seven. Chazal said to say, it's interesting what he said. David was king in Hebron. What's so interesting is there'll be a bigger war if Israel would declare the capital Hebron than if they would declare to be Yerushalayim. It'll probably be even a bigger war. Okay, in any event, David was king Hebron. So during that time when David was king Hebron, David, he was with his men, and they needed food. They just needed basic supplies. And he came to Novel Carmeli. And he came to Novel, and he asked him some food, and he said, no, get lost.
He sent messengers.
He said, messengers, could I have? And then he sent back a messenger. Who do you think he spoke with? Tremendous chutzpah to David.
They insulted them.
Right.
Labuha, Vadim, and Balsim, that was when Shaul was alive.
Was that already? I think Ishbosheth, that was after Shaul done, I think.
Before
Shaul was still alive?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to brush up on my Nach.
He had 400 people with him.
David had 400, and he sent messengers, and they sent novels, sent back, who do you think you are? You're nothing. David was a redhead. David got very, very angry. And David decided he's going to kill him. He's going to wipe them all out. Moirei b'malchus. The halacha, he's a melech. Shmuel anointed David as a melech. He poured the oil from the kerem on David. David's the melech. You have no right to speak like this to David. David had all the right in the world to go kill him. Who came down as he was coming down? The mountain was coming to greet him.
Abigail.
Abigail, an incredible story of a woman. The people who talk about the power of a woman. And Abigail went and spoke to David and told David. David, the word Chazal doesn't say explicitly in the pasuk, but Chazal explained the pasuk that David, your name has not yet gone forth in the world. Although it's true that you're a melech and you've been anointed by Shmuel, but your reputation has not yet spread. And the people of Klal Yisrael have not yet accepted you as melech. And this is a very powerful, very big topic of discussion. What exactly was her argument? Was her argument that in order for a person to be a melech, with all of the bells and whistles, with the halacha, that he's allowed to exercise the halacha of moreid b'malchus. You can do whatever you want, you can kill someone. Melech poreid skeder. A king has the right to, he's above the law. He's mamish above the law in many areas of Shulchan Aruch. He can go and he can summarily execute people without any mishpat. There's no judgment, there's no mishpat. There's no court of law. He can just kill people on his own if he feels that they are a danger. If he feels they are a danger to this malchus, it's an incredible power of malchus has. And in halacha, a Jewish king, and he can take away. He can seize assets. He can seize assets. He can do whatever he wants. So was Abigail saying to David, David, you lack that halachic status of being able to override basic principles of halacha as the king, because in order to be a melech, this is an incredible concept, you must be accepted. Which, and if this is what she was actually saying to him, that she was teaching him halacha, that is a revelation that the malchus of Klal Yisrael is not like the malchus of any other nation. In other nations, when Saddam Hussein was the dictator of his country, even if the entire country doesn't like him and would wish to vote him out, it doesn't matter. He can do whatever he... I mean, he's the melech because I'm the king, I'm the dictator, I do whatever I want. By Klal Yisrael, Abigail was saying that's not the way it works. Just because you are the melech, you're Yoshev Roish, there's an element of democracy in the malchus of Yisrael. And if we take a vote... If we have elections, we take a poll, and the majority of the people don't want you, if 51% of the population is not satisfied with your service, even though you've been anointed by Shmuel, and if all the miracles that you're the melech, guess what? You're not the melech. You're only a melech if the people accept you as a melech. In the world, that's not the way it works. In the world, there are world leaders in the history of the world. There are kings.
Currently
also, but currently at least there's at least in some countries at least the election system in many countries is corrupt. How could it be that Saddam Hussein in his prime, every time it was an election, won the vote by 99.99999%, 1 out of 100%.
People are against him. You got to.
So where's the point one? Who's the point 0.001 who voted against him? They was like he won. They had an election, and Saddam Hussein was reappointed as the dictator with a vote of 9. This is not a joking. This will be a 99. What kind of garbage is that? What kind of garbage? South North Korea. North Korea, what kind of garbage is this? We have an election, okay, and people in America have challenged, okay, this is not a share of politics, have challenged, no, it's like Biden said about a week ago, he said, it's not a matter of who you vote for, it's a matter of who gets to count the votes. Yeah, this is what he said.
His party.
Right, didn't he say that 1 week ago?
Yes.
Who gets to count the votes? That's what's important.
In Hong Kong, they had an election, all the communist, China-oriented candidates won, because all the other candidates, Democratic candidates, were either kicked off the election or were locked up in jail.
Or executed.
Locked up in jail.
Okay, so novel Avigail, if this is correct, it is an awesome revelation of Malchus and Klal Yisrael. Malchus and Klal Yisrael is not like the Malchus of the Umma Yisrael. Malchus and Yisrael, once you get in, you're in charge, you have your, you control the military, you control the finance system, that's it. Very few people can control millions and billions of people. That's the way it is in this world. If you control,
suppose at the beginning of David's reign, 25% of the people strongly opposed him. What's he going to do? Kill off 25% of the people? That's not.
Well, that's a practical matter.
That's what I'm saying.
But let. So you're saying that what Abigail is saying is
only. Even though the law is on your side.
Yeah. It's not practical.
Good politics.
Politics, fine. But let's say more than that. Let's say you have a lead. David, a king has the power to execute outside a court system.
Any extra legal.
Extra legal. What's the extra legal authority? That authority of extra legal authority. Is it correct? Is he entitled? Is he acting within halacha? If you were to take an honest poll right now, and 51% of the people do not want him, do not approve of his leadership, they want him out. According to what Avigail said to David, if you take what Avigail said to the nth degree, she's saying to David, David, it's very nice that Shmuel HaNavi, in the name of Hashem, with Ruach HaKodesh, and with the Shemen HaMishcha, anointed you as the Melech. That's just one part of one element you need to be considered to be the Melech of Yisrael. You also need the people to be maskil. You need the Haskama Ha'am.
The popular vote.
And that's not the way it works in the world. In the world, once a person is a dictator, and he pays off the military leaders, and they are loyal to him, and he controls the economy, the financial institutions, right. He can control millions and billions of people. Because once you're in control, you're in control. Avigail said, you know, this is Klal Yisrael. In Klal Yisrael, it doesn't work like that.
No.
Just because you sit, you're Yoshev Rosh, just because you can control the financial system, just because you control the military, you're not the king. You have no power. You have no rishus to kill anyone unless there's haskam asa'am. And the people don't accept you. Right now, lo yotza tiv'acha be'olam. Your reputation has not yet gone out in the world. People don't accept you. They don't even know who you are. Shaul went and privately in the basement went and anointed you as the Melech of Yisrael. So what? Who do you think you are to go kill my husband? And David, this is the greatness of David HaMelech. This is the true, true greatness. He listened. David listened and accepted. That is true greatness.
Also.
That is the ultimate greatness when a person can hear Musar, and he can say, you're right, and I stand down.
Right.
What?
The future.
Right.
Okay, well, Chazal said that he already looked at her. No, she proposed to him. Chazal said she proposed to him. It doesn't say anywhere that David already was thinking ahead. I don't think it says that. She was thinking ahead. That's a very important point. Because David, maybe after this, had learned his lesson already with David and Bathsheba. With Bathsheba. Because Bathsheba, he saw what happens when you prematurely take a woman. And this was like, you know, Chazal said that, how do you know, what is the Baal Teshuvah? When a Kodesh Baruch Hu challenges you, you have the same exact situation. If you want to darshan, that this was the moment of Teshuvah for David, where David actually displayed that he was Chozer B'Teshuvah. Because it's exactly, here there's a woman who he's going to marry. Chazal said that she was beautiful. Exquisitely beautiful. Plus, you see her chokhmah, tremendous chokhmah, a powerhouse.
Even the
And
on the way down the mountain, the Gemara says there was like a flash of
light from her. David saw who he's dealing with, and her, she has a husband. She has a husband. So she should go send her husband, Novel, to the front lawn, like Uriah Achiti, right? Oh, I want to marry you. So what are we going to do? We're going to knock off your husband. How are we going to knock him off? I'm going to talk to him. He's going to slip up. He's going to speak to me with chutzpah. He's going to say something that's disrespectful. My master Yoav in the battlefield needs me. You call Yoav your master in front of me? How dare you? Now, if you would say that, the average person, big deal, right? Big deal. He is your master. Yoav is the general of general. So because he said to David, my master, what? You're moired b'malchus, yichayiv misa. So Mamela, go to the front lines in harm's way, and you're going to die. Basically, we all know that in this country, if the government wants, they can literally lock up in solitary confinement for generations any single person they want. In tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta, the average person who leases a car commits about 10 felonies. I'm not joking.
Remember the line about
10 felonies. Felonies. When you sign, you go there, they give you a stack of papers. Sign me, I just sign. What am I signing? I don't even know myself what you're signing. Just sign, because I have to go home. I got to go home, go learn with my kids. Sign. Okay, good. Pick the car, here are the keys. What did you sign? If you read what you sign, you basically, this is not just a flatbush and bar box. This is, it's even worse. You should know outside. The average person commits 10 felonies. Technically, the government, if they really want, they can go and they can take up every person, go through everything he ever did in his life, taxes, and lock anyone up. That's the law. Baruch Hashem. You're not a politician, you'll be okay.
What are the 10 felonies?
Go through all the laws.
Give me an example.
How much did you earn? How much do you make? How much money do you make a year? What is your income? And after the income, how much?
Fill in, you just sign your name.
No, they fill in for you. You don't realize they make it up. They make it up. They you be shocked what they do behind your back in order to get everything approved and move things along.
They want you to get credit for the car.
What?
They want you to get credit.
You wouldn't believe what goes on behind the scenes. What you think it's all here in Flatbush? It goes in the whole America's like this. No, and listen, this illegal is illegal. There's nothing to talk about. You can't talk. It's usher is usher. I'm just using this as an example. What did he say? What did he say to David? My master Yoav. Chayiv Nisa. Go to the front lines and get killed. Wow, that's pretty serious stuff. That's what David did. David over here comes to Novel. Novel here was really a Mori B'malchus, the real deal. He spoke to David with incredible chutzpah. We have to learn Pesukim, how he responded. And what did Abigail say? Abigail said, listen, Calm down, take a cold shower.
It's my fault.
You said it's her fault?
It's my fault, she said.
I didn't calm down my husband, but David, you don't want to do this. It's going to be a stain. It's going to be a stain on your mouth, because if you're impetuous and you take it to do this at this moment in time, she spoke to him with chokhmah, with incredible wisdom. And David's this, and this mice, it's so central. It is central to the malchus of David, this story of Abigail. Number one, it reveals that David did teshuva. He did not let it play out the same way it played out with Bathsheba. He was not impetuous to do anything. He eventually married her, right? Obviously, he liked her. He married her, one of his 18 wives. So he did teshuva. There's a degree of doing teshuva. He didn't let the whole thing play out like Bathsheba. Number two, this was a revelation of who you are. You're not as great as you think you are. And number three, this is the godless of David. This is the true godless. David listened. He listened, he recognized that he made a mistake, and he stood down. How many politicians do you know in your life when they were presented with the fact that they made a mistake? It stood down.
Zero.
Adrabah, you make a mistake, you have to create more drama to show you're right. That's the way it goes. It's an incredible godless. I want to tell you a vod. This vod is very, very precious to me. And it's mamash right here in the story of Bavel and David. There's something called the term in Chumash called the Ishoin Bas Oyin. I'm telling you, this Yisoid, you got to live with this Yisoid. It's a nasty var. It's not a nasty var, but it's a painful var. But unfortunately, it's very, very true. And it's mamash here what Abigail said to God. There's a term in Tana in Chumash, Ishoin Bas Oyin. What does that mean? The words symbol, the pupil of the eye. Right? The Ishon. The Bas Oyin means the eye socket. The Ishoin is the black part. The black, the pupil of the eye. What is the etymology of the word Ishon? What does that mean? Ishon. What does that word mean? What does that mean? Okay, I'm sure if you look at the Mepharshim, you'll find many perushim as to many ideas of what that word Ishon, the black. Ishon means darkness. Does it mean Adam? Maybe it means light, like Ish. That's where the Ma'or Einov, the light comes from. Black absorbs all types of colors, all different rays of light. I accept every one of the perushim as to the etymology, the precise etymology of the word Ishon. But let me present you another interpretation. I don't know who says this. It's probably a Rishon. One of the Rishonim who says this. The reason why the pupil of the eye is called the Ishon, it comes from the word Ish. A man, a human being, an Ish. Adam and Ish. In grammar, Hebrew grammar, whenever you wish to miniaturize something, you add an end nun to the word. Okay? For example, okay. What?
Dubon.
Say again?
Dubon.
Dubon? What's a Dubon?
A little bear.
Okay, Dubon. My mind escapes. There are a number of examples of this principle. Chabad, I just have a blank mind. There are a number of words in the Hebrew language where you want to connote the miniaturization of something. You end off with an end nun. Okay, using Dubon is a little bear. There is I forgot there was a certain basic example. I just can't remember that. What? I can't hear.
Rachamon?
A small amount of Rachmanis? No. Okay, I don't know. This is a principle. B'li Nedim, we'll have to find, we'll bring up some examples. So when you take the word Ish and you add an end nun to the word Ish, it becomes Ishon. So what does that mean? It means not a man, a big man, 6 foot, 6'5", 6'7", from the NBA. We're not discussing the NBA over here. We're discussing a little tiny man, a teeny, teeny, teeny little man, a teeny little man. What does the pupil of the eye have to do with a teeny little miniature, a midget? The answer is, when Reuven looks at Shimon, and you look him in the eye, what does Reuven see in Shimon's eyes, his pupils?
Himself.
It's a mirror.
Yeah.
He sees himself. Wait a minute, I'm 6'5". I'm a giant, 6'5". When I look at Shimon, I'm looking in the mirror. Because the eye is curved, the eye is like a cone, it's curved. So it's a mirror. And it's a mirror which miniaturizes whatever you see. So you see yourself. It's a mirror. You see yourself in someone else's eyes. But you see a little teeny, teeny version of yourself. I think of myself as being 6'5", but when I look in the other person's eyes, I see myself as a midget. So I'm a big greiser-ish. And when I look at myself in his eyes, I see a teeny, teeny little person. That's the Musa Haskell of life. People walk around and they think they're great people. If only they knew what other people think of them, boy, would they be in for a rude awakening.
How they see them.
When you see yourself through someone else's eyes, don't forget you're nothing. You're a little teeny person. You can walk around the street, I'm Harav, Hagoyim, Hatzadik, Harosh Shiva,
Hakodosh,
the Manik Hadar. You think of yourself, I come, I sit in the Mizrach. There's a guy that I know, he comes from Eretz Yisrael. I can't live with this guy. Every time he comes, he has to sit mamish in the front seat as if he's the Rav. And then when it comes to anything, he has to always sit. It's mamish a sickness. It's mamish, it's a choli ha-nefesh. It's a choli ha-nefesh. What do you have to sit mamish in the rabbi's chair? Who are you? It really is. There are people that have this sickness. People have other sicknesses. They have other problems. Money, taivel, fenoshim. Everyone has their own peckle, right? Everyone has their own peckle, their own weaknesses. But people, everyone to a certain degree, they walk around. They think to themselves, you know, I'm a hotshot. I'm a hot stuff. Hot stuff. I had a mice in shul once many years ago with someone. Did something very, very nasty. He did something very known as all, and he didn't realize I was. He did something nasty about someone in my family, and I didn't realize it. I was just sitting right behind him when he did this very ugly thing. So after he finished his whole night, Tara says, "You know, I heard everything that you said. You should know." And no, just know. It's that thing. He turned white, and I ran away. The next day. The next day when I came to Myriff, he was waiting for me. He was waiting for me by the door the next night. And he started saying, you know, he started basically denying what he knew. I didn't do it. I said, listen, I know what you said. I heard everything. Don't go make up stories now. So he saw that he wasn't getting anywhere with me. I was probably wrong with the way I'm sure wrong with the way I handled the whole situation. I basically said, listen, just apologize. I know you don't go make up stories now. So he saw he was not making any headway with me. He exploded. And he started going at me in front of the whole shul. I was really getting scared. He was cursing me out big time. And then he said to me, and now I just like, I left. And as I left the shul, he says to me, who do you think you are? You think you're hot stuff? That's what he said to me. You think you're hot stuff? And I was really shaken up. So I went home and I told my mother the whole story. I was so upset. I told my mother, I cried to my mother. Oh, you know what happened in Shul Gewalt? And he was nevazing me in front of, and he's screaming, you think you're hot stuff? So, but as I went home and I told my mother, I calmed down a little bit. I calmed down. And I told my mother what happened. And he said, he screamed. You think, so my mother, so what did you say? So I told my mother, I told my mother, yeah, I do. I didn't say that, but in a joking way, I told him, yeah. I told him, yeah, I do think. Okay, but the point is, there is a little bit of truth of that in every single person. A person really thinks about himself. Every person thinks he's hot stuff. But don't forget, through the eyes of someone else, you're an ishoin. You're a little teeny person. You may think of yourself as being an ish hagodol v'hakodosh, but when you look at yourself in the eyes, in the mirror of someone else's pupils, you see yourself not as an ish, as an ishoin, as a midget, a teeny little person. That's big Musa Haskel. Don't think you're such hot stuff. In the eyes of other people, you're nothing. That's exactly what Avigail said to David. David, calm down. Who do you think you are here? You're the Melech, Chachmal Yisrael. Yeah, these are your 400 people over here. These are, Esav also came with 400 people. Arba Meos Ish Imo. Who do you think you are, David? You come here with 400 people. There's a whole Chachmal Yisrael. Lo Yotza Tiv Acha Ba'olam. The world doesn't know from you. In the eyes of the whole world, you're an ishoin. Don't do this. Don't murder him in cold blood. Midin, marid b'malchus. It's going to be a stain on your malchus. Don't do this. Remember, the yisoid is you're maybe an ish in your eyes, but in the eyes, in the mirror of someone else's pupil, you're just an ishon. You're a teeny little person. So according to
when he came back to report to Moshe, also said to
the people. The hayis debein of kachagavim. We were like cockroach. We were like locusts.
Grasshoppers.
Right. Interesting. Right. You're saying it's an interesting point. There, it's we were in their eyes like teeny little nothings, mm-hmm. Not even human beings. Just creatures. Okay, now why am I telling you all this? Because according to many of the Mefarshim, I'm going to read inside. We really have to go a little quicker, but over here, Almus on the death of Laban. Now, what happened? Abigail told David, David, calm down. He listened. Now it's his gavus. He went back home, and what happened? Novel just one day got sick and died. He died. Hashkocha pratis. He just got sick and died. Menashemayim. And then what happened? David then got heard that he died naturally. David didn't touch him, nothing to do with this. And then she sent for him, I don't know, remember the details, and they got David married Abigail. Now this is incredible what it says over here, and this one of the first one who says Minchas Oreb maybe, and he says something that blew my mind. The word Laban is referring to novel. So why then didn't the pasuk say Lam Natzech? I want to sing a song to you, Hashem, Al Mus, on the death of this person that was mivazim me and disgraced me, and yet I listened peacefully. I listened to this Abigail. I accepted her Musa, and I stood down. And then he died naturally. So why does the pasuk beat around the bush? Why doesn't it say Lam Natzech Al Mus? Novel, the word Laban is novel backwards, right? The last letter is Nun, Bain, Lamed, Novel, it's backwards. So why does the pasuk allude to novel by writing the word Laban backwards? Say it forwards. The answer is incredible. It's not nice to Abigail. It's not nice. Abigail was still married to this man. That, in other words, there must have been some redeeming quality in him. If Abigail was married to this person for a number of years, maybe she had children with him. Doesn't tell us all the details. But if Abigail was married, it would not be proper for David, who's now married to Abigail, to sing a song in Shul, Baruch Hashem, my wife's first husband died. That's not nice. That's not Derech Eretz. That's not Min Hanimus. That's not min hanimus, and therefore, out of sensitivity to his wife, he didn't refer to him openly. He only referred to him in code, which he had to sing Shira to Hashem. This is a pivotal moment of his malchus, but because of the sensitivity to his wife, he spoke with in code, not in open. Isn't that an incredible var? You know, we talk about in today's society, we know where the Orthodox Jew is challenged regarding Noshim, many areas regarding Noshim. David, you know, there's an incredible richness in how David treated his wives. And here's an incredible example. He didn't say it explicitly. He said, who says this one? Maybe this is the Radak. Well, maybe we'll come across in a moment. I didn't mark it down on the paper with my pen, but I will come across this one. It says one of the Mefarshim over here. That's why it's backwards. What are you saying?
Yeah, also, I was thinking maybe it's just not nice to praise the death of a Yid. Just like when the Malachim wanted to sing Shira, Bayam, and Hashem said, no,
Masa Yad HaBayam.
And those were Goyim, and Hashem right. Said, no. Here, advanced he was.
Okay, so, see, that's a big topic of discussion. First of all, it was only the Malachi HaShoyis that did not sing Shir, but Klal Yisrael did sing Shir.
But they were Goyim, so they had a right to. Here, he almost
okay,
again.
So that's what we discussed many times, that even when it comes to Jews, today, what you just said now is very true in our generation. Today, the policy is no Jew shall be left behind, no matter how evil he is. We look at the nitzotz of the Kedusha and the Jew, and we lift them up. There is no question that this approach has not always been the approach of Klal Yisrael throughout history. In our generation, you are 100% correct. No matter how far a person has strayed, you never heard today a parent sitting shiva, rachmanu l'shem, because their child went off the derech.
Right.
You never heard that. You're out now the last 50 years. You ever heard a story where if a Rahmana Litzlan, someone's child married a non-Jew, the parents would say Shiva? You never heard this. But it was very common, go back 75 years ago. It was very common. They sat Shiva, Rahmana Litzlan. And it was very common that people, they literally wrote off Jews who strayed, they were going. They treated them in halacha as if they converted out. Even though it was a different hashkafa. A very different hashkafa. There was once a guy, I can't remember all these things. There was once a Gadol Yisrael, he wrote a European or from Poland, I don't remember before the war, and he was writing a letter, writing about his children. It was very, and he had many children, grandchildren, and he listed every single one, Derech Agav. In this long letter that he wrote to someone, he listed all of his children. And someone, an historian, later came along and noted that when it came to the children, some of them he wrote, just like in the script, Sheyichyeh, you know, after you write a person's name, you write Shalita, Rosh Sheyichyeh, Liyamim, Liyam Tamaruchim, Amosh Admeh Ve'esrim, or Yichyeh, by a woman, Tichyeh. You always write, after you write someone's name, you write some letters, which is like a bracha, they should live a long time. Neiro Yoyer. So he listed, you know, he wrote a letter, it was about nothing, and he just happened to write about all of the children, grandchildren. And some of them, he wrote Sheyichyeh, and some of them, he didn't. Why? And someone did research and studied the date of when the letter was written and where the children were located. And the ones that he wrote Sheyichyeh were all Shomer Torah Mitzvos. And the ones that he did not say Sheyichyeh Amush were one of the Derech. And it's a shocking revelation that this person, when he wrote this letter, it was like almost like saying he wrote them off. He wrote them off. It's a mindset that today we really do not relate to. Because Baruch Hashem, we live in a very different type of world today. We live in a very different type of world in many, many respects. And today, you don't write off anyone. But that's not the way it used to be. And David HaMelech dealt with Jews all the time. And he not only did he write them off, he wanted to murder them. He did murder them. He gave the command. Because there are certain types of Jews that are an existential threat to Klal Yisrael. Okay, and this even goes back to Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, I mean, L'chuvin Nahargehu. Excuse me? L'chuvin Nahargehu? Excuse me? Your own brother, the child of Yaakov Avinu? It is thoroughly impossible for us to understand the Pshutoi Shel Mikra, how the Shiftei Kah can say about Yosef HaTzadik, L'chu V'Nahargehu. It's impossible.
What Job wanted to do to David?
Same thing. So there you can argue that Shaul was not in Das. There, at least there you can argue by Shaul that what Shaul wanted to do to his own son-in-law was Shaloi Midas. He was a Ruach Ra, it says the Pharisee and the Apostle. There's a Ruach Ra. You can say that he was over there. These modern irreligious people, they'll say the Ruach Ra means he was, they'll tell you he was depressed, he suffered from this. They'll give you all the medical terms, modern medical terms. You know, that's not the traditional understanding. No one, the traditional understanding was that there's something with something, a spiritual force that we have no understanding of that overtook him, that brought him to behave like this. Right. It's a real cop-out to say that David suffered from some medical, Shaul suffered from some medical disease that we can define today in a hospital. They say that. I'm not saying they don't say that. You'll find people that will always take everything that says in Tanakh and will put it in the perspective of 21st century medical terms. They'll tell you exactly all the simonim. No, you can't say they're wrong, but that's not the tradition.
It says Vashem Sar Me'alav. So there's like you said once, a silent treatment.
Silent treatment. It made him a sugar. Okay, there's a lot more going on than just to go learn the Tanakh, like as if David is walking around in the street. You look at David, you look at Shaul, like, you know, some politician that lost the election. That's really a hard thing to do. Okay, but this is a Musa Haskell in Lamatzech al Musa Ben. Al Mus, again, Al Mus can mean either one. We know it's in some very clearly in some way. Al Mus can either mean Al Mus, it's one word, which means forever. Al Mus is the equivalent of Chol, so it means Al Mus. Oilamim, Oilamim, it's like the. It means in this context forever. It's one word, Al Mus. A song for the conductor that is timely. It's almost. It's not limited to a particular event, a particular time, a particular. It's almost timely. It's above. It's like oilamis forever. Now that's an hour in our gear, so that's not what we have. We have two separate words. Al, regarding death. Who died? Either the one who died was Novel, it's backwards, or the one who died was this child that he had from Bas Sheva, who died immediately, very quickly after he was born, the first child that he had from Bas Sheva, and what's the song? He should be mourning. Why would David HaMelech sing over the death of his child? So the answer obviously is that David's soul, see this is very, very difficult, let me explain. There's a time to sing and there's a time to mourn. Okay, it's very disturbing that when a person dies, they should be singing songs. Okay, when the Rebbe passed away, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I went to the Levaya. I was, who am I to comment, but I was horrified what I saw. I saw people mamish dancing. They were dancing. When they brought out the Aron from 770, they were dancing. They were dancing and singing. I saw my own eyes. I mean, excuse me, what are you doing? This is a funeral, this is not a wedding. What are we doing over here? The Hilula Rashbi? I mean, there's Ace, Lifkois, there's a time to cry, and there's a time to dance. So you'll tell me that it was such a horrific tragedy, the only way they can deal with it is by dancing? Listen, I don't know, I don't understand. I'm not part of this world, none of my business. But to say that David, he sang a song over the death of his own child, that doesn't sound right. You want to say that it doesn't mean that he sang a song when he died, because when he died he was in Avel and he was in mourning. What it means is years later, decades later, he healed, and he was able to look back in hindsight and see it from a different, from the perspective of Mashiyase Hazman, Lo Yase Hasechel. He was able to see how he grew from this. I unfortunately didn't get through the article. I just started with two lines in one of the magazines, probably the Shtrach magazine was an editorial for maybe Jonasson Rosen, what's his name? Rosenblum. I think it was him. He started quoting a veteran who lost both legs. And he quoted this article that this veteran who lost both legs says that if an angel, a guy, would come and say, give me back both legs, he wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take back his both legs. What he learned about himself and about the world through the horror, it's a guy, can you imagine this? A guy, through what happened to him, the tragedy of losing his both, the battle losing his legs, and the whole saga, the whole Shalshelis Hadvarim, which happened, it was a life-changing experience in understanding the purpose of life, who he is, his relationship with other people and with God. If an angel would come and offer to give back his legs, to go back, he wouldn't take it. What had his life was so meaningful because of this. I mean, I'm looking at this, reading this, and I'm in disbelief. I'm in disbelief how any human being can say this. Certainly a guy that doesn't have the background and the tools to deal with this, such a tragedy. And he's quoting this article. Yonasson Rosenblum is quoting this. You know, he's the big Askanim in Klal Yisrael. And he's quoting this article. It's an incredible article. So you can argue that David HaMelech is doing exactly the same. David HaMelech is not reciting this. Don't be misled to believe that David HaMelech is singing a song regarding the death of his son at the funeral. At the funeral, and he's singing songs, and he's dancing, and he's dancing. No, he's not doing chas v'shalom. There's a time to cry, a time to yulidus, a time to mourn. This means he sang this song, Al Mus Labein is years later, decades later. Now he's able to reflect what happened 50 years ago, and now he can understand how the benefit that he received from what happened, there's something, a lesson to be learned. But it can't mean that he sang this song b'shas nice. It's very disturbing today when there are funerals. You know, they do this, unfortunately. There are funerals there, and they know by the goyim. I'm not talking about the goyim. The goyim is totally sure. I'm talking about by frum Jews. They have time by frum Jews. They sing, all these crazy things. And you do funerals all the time. You have funeral, what? What? See, I was even very disturbed by Rabbi Tursky. I never knew this. Rabbi Tursky, I never knew this. He's the one who invented, he's the one who composed the Nigun. He composed that Nigun. Unbelievable. That Nigun has captured the hearts and minds of the whole Kol Yisrael. Rabbi Tursky, what he has accomplished is not to be believed. So he gave a tzava. It is Levaya, they should sing the song. And there's a video when they were carrying him. I don't know if he had a Levaya. I don't know what the story was. But when they brought him, when they carried him on their shoulders, they mamish carried him, as the Gemara says. The real way to bring a person to Kavura, al pi halacha, is to carry the person on your shoulders. No one does this today. No one does. I think by him that I shouldn't do this. Maybe I don't remember. That's what it says. People, they talk about this. Why, Taka, don't we do this today? The proper way to carry a person to the Beis HaKvaros is to carry them on the mita of the Aron. And the Aron was carried by Bnei Levi. The poles are on the shoulders. So it says in the Feresh of the Rambam that the proper way to bring a person with Kavura is to put the person on the mita with poles, and the poles go on your shoulder. I've never seen this, Baruch Hashem. No one does this, but that's what it says. On the shoulders? They carry the casket on the shoulders? Yeah? So that's the proper way to do it. You see that? By military. So by the Rambam says that's the proper, every Jew is supposed to carry them. The covered is to carry them on your shoulders. No, but by some people, you know, like military are okay. They by military, not always. But you don't see this by us. For I mean, whatever. Okay, that's not the Hanach Lahem LiYisrael. But that's what the Rambam says. So here, there's a way to do everything. There's a time and place for everything. Now let's just look at some of the farshim. Rashi is a bit difficult. We're going to do Rashi, of course. But let's get a little warm up by looking at some of the farshim first. Let's look first at the Mincha Shai. This is a first for us, that we should start with the Mincha Shai. Mincha Shai is the last thing you would do, right? And here we're going to start with the Mincha Shai. Just jump around a little bit. Yesh Machloikis on page 70. Page 70, Yesh Machloikis Ben HaSoifrim, the HaMefarshim, okay, by the scribes. That itself is quite a statement. You really want to know the Girsa? Ask the Soifrim. Don't ask the Rabbanim, the Talmidei Chachamim. Everyone has a specialty. And Moshe says this. There's a very, very Meshuva about there were certain questions, the art school had certain questions about, I think the question was, the famous story, the question is, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Friday night, it's a famous question. Rosh Hashanah falls out Friday night. So what do? You have Luchun Ranana. Okay, you have a short version. You don't have, it depends. If you daven Nusach Sfar, you have a short version. If you daven Ashkenaz, you skip it entirely. But you do say, Mizmor Shir Liyoy Mashalos. So you daven Ashrei, you finish the whole mincha, the last mincha of the year, Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu Es Hashanah Hazois, and then what do? And then you say Kaddish Deskabel Aleinu Kaddish Yosam, a Baruch Hashem, the Gabbai is here, a Baruch Hashem, and then after you finish the Kaddish Yosam. Miz, if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and Svar also, but you first have to say the short version of the Chodori, Mizmar Shir Liyoy Mashabos. And then you say Hashem Moloch. And then there is a Kaddish Yosayim. So what's the Shaila? The Shaila by Yartzeitz also. When you say the Kaddish Yosayim, do you say Le'ela Le'ela? Do you change it from Le'ela to Le'ela Le'ela Mikol Birchasa Vishirasa? What are the changes on it? What are the changes on it? Oh, you say Hashalom if you make that change. Not everyone makes that change. Not everyone does that, right? It's not so popular.
Oh, you say Mizmor Shir, don't you accept Shabbos? So that's the
question. The question is, even though you accept Shabbos,
You're accepting
Shabbos, Mizmor Shir Liyoy Mashabos. The question is still, you're right, even though you accept Shabbos, it's not a 100%, it's not 100% Shabbos. I don't know the issues. I forgot or I never knew. Probably never knew. It's a twilight zone, that moment. Even though you said Mizmor Shir Liyoy Mashabos, there's an argument to be made already, it's now Rosh Hashanah, because you're Mekabel Shabbos early. But Mitzad Sheni, it's not yet Seis HaKoychavim. The sun, the stars did not yet come out. And it's not yet Shabbos. How far do you go when it comes to saying Le'ela, Le'ela, Oysa? Another question. Let's say a person has Yortzeit. A person has Yortzeit Friday night.
Do you say that Friday?
Right.
Do you say that?
Not Friday. Have Yom Tov and Shabbos.
Either way.
Shabbos. If you have Yom Tov, no, Friday also.
Friday also.
Once you make Shabbos, it's not worth Kaddish. If you have Yom Tov on Friday, you don't say by Mr. Shilly, only Shabbos Kaddish.
You sure? I think
some of my short years ago, he found where they told me explicitly.
You don't. Okay. Okay. And what? But what about saying le'ela le'ela? So in art scroll, this is the way I heard the story. I think it's written up in a lot of places. You probably can find it easily online. The art scroll, when they wrote their machzor, they didn't know. They did not know if they should put in their art scroll machzor le'ela le'ela, mikol when it's Friday going into Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. So the Eshev Moshe. And Rav Moshe says he doesn't know. And Rav Moshe says, I don't know. He says, ask the Shamoshim, the old fashioned, the old timers. They have the Mesorah. Ask today, Moshul don't have a real.
I can't tell you really my Sarav on that. I'll tell you why. Because 2020, right? No, the Corona, my Rebbe wasn't alive anymore, and I wasn't in the shul. The last time that came about that Friday night was Rosh Hashanah was 12 years before that.
Okay.
And it's very possible there was no other in the shul then.
No, not in Arab. Right. Even if there's no other, someone usually says the Kaddish.
No, we're not.
Okay.
During the summer,
I really can't bring you my Sarav on that particular. Was it so long ago? I don't remember.
But now the answer about Moshe says he doesn't know, and he says the one who knows are.
The answer of Yaakov also. The answer of Yaakov and Moshe.
He said the same thing.
Should have
been better in Gabbai.
And he quoted. I think he quoted. Maybe it was a Magen Avram. I don't remember exactly. He quoted Rav Moshe. He quoted either a Magen Avram. He quoted, or maybe it was a Chassam Soiv. I don't know what he quoted. He quoted something where they had another Shaila, and the Taka didn't know the answer. I go to the Shamash. The Shamash of the Shul, he knows. He has the Mesorah. And whatever he says, do. I don't remember this. Over here, the reason why I'm telling you this is, over here, this is very interesting Nusach over here in the Mincha Shai. We have over here a word. We have a dilemma. What is the correct way to write the word? Is it Al, Mus, two separate words, or is it one word? Al, Mus, without any space in between. So the Mincha Shai says So normally you go, you know, you learn in yeshiva, so you don't, you have a hoodie, you go to the Rosh Hashiva. You go to the Rosh Hashiva, whatever the Rosh Hashiva says, that's what you do. The Rosh Hashiva is supposed to know everything, right? No, not necessarily. This is not a specialty. It's not a specialty to know this. Okay? To know this, who do you go to? You go to the people who do this every single day, the Soifrim. He writes, Yesh Nachlek Yisbein HaSoifrim. The scribes, they know the answer. Everyone has their specialty. They know if it's almus or if it's one word almus. The Hamafarshim. The Mafarshim also, they like to explain the difference in the translation of the word. Is it forever or is it with regarding death? Imhi chod chadamila oitrein, is it one word or is it two words? Umidusha agoda yeshabim ve'in mehem hechrea. There are many mamori chazal. And you can drei, azoy, and azoy. You're not going to be able to prove anything from the midrashim because the midrashim, for every midrash you cite, I'll bring you 20 midrashim the other way around. There's a famous maisa with Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich was an unapologetic Zionist, an unapologetic religious Zionist. The art school biography of Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich says it explicitly. He was an unapologetic religious Zionist. He told his boys that if I were your age, I would pick myself up and go to Israel, take a gun and go fight. He even proposed, he made a flag, he had different ideas, very, very, very Zionistic for a chosid of his caliber and his nature. It's fascinating. And he went, he met with Rav Yoel, the Halakha Satmirov. And everyone knows Rav Yoel was a very unapologetic anti-Zionist. And he met with him. And Rav Yoel was fuming mad at him. At Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich was a Zionist. No one can deny that. Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. And the Rav Satmirov, the Shalosh Shavuos, wrote a chibur. He didn't really write it. Someone wrote it for him. The Shalosh Shavuos, he was, we all know, we don't need to elaborate, was not exactly a big fan of the Tzionim. Okay? And they met. They met up with each other, two Gedolei Yisrael, and they had a conversation. I don't know what it was, and the Satmirov went on a tirade, Kedarukai, and let Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich have it. And he quoted to Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich numerous Mamori Chazal, proving that what his approach to Medinas Yisrael is wrong. And Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich didn't say one word. He didn't say one word. He just listened. And the Satmirov Kedarka was fire. And it just came out nonstop. When the meeting was over, he went back to the yeshiva. And the Talmidim said, Nunu, tell us the inside. So he said to them, it's recorded in the, I believe, in the article biography. And he says it there. He says, this is what I'm telling you. It's for every Maimer Chazal that he said to me, I can cite 10 Mamori Chazal that say fakert. And the reason why I didn't respond, no, I just, I no, he said, I didn't want to get angry. Something like that. Something along those lines.
Don't respond to a person.
Okay, so I'm just telling that because this is exactly what it says over here. It's a matter of Ashkaf, Umidroshe Agod Yesh Rabim, Ve'ein Mehem Hecha. This is a Yesoid in Yadus. Don't start bringing me Rayas from Medrash. There's something called Medrash and there's something called Halacha. Now, here we're not dealing with Halacha, but we're dealing over here with something that really borders on Halacha and how you put the words on the paper. How do you put the words down on the paper, on Sefer Tilim? Even though it's not Nogea anymore, because today we have no need in our generation any longer to write Kisuvim on parchment. There's really no need anymore, but you know, you have to still preserve the Messiah. You have to know what it says. So that's Halacha. Don't bring me any Raya from Medrash, what the Halacha should be. Because that's not the purpose of Medrash. Every medrash is subject to interpretation. And there are numerous, I don't know what he says, I have no idea what he says. And every medrash is subject to interpret. Every medrash they are conflicting midrashi chazal, and every medrash is subject to interpretation. This is Rabbi Reisman's strongest argument. Rabbi Reisman is known to be a Rishon Reisman Shlita, Rashivatar Vidas, the Rav over here in Madison. Adam Gadol Admoim, Gadol Banakim, and he is probably known to be the biggest critic of the Chilozon, of the modern day Techeles. Even though everyone interpreted Rabbi Belsky and all the Gedolei Yisrael, many of them accept the Niyuritz to be, you know, the very likely Techeles. And his argument, and no one ever really answered him, his argument is all of the Rayas that the Niyuritz is the Techeles are from Midrashei Agodah. And in the Mamori Chazal, in the body of work of Halacha, there is no way in the world the Mirror can possibly be the Techeles. So to create an industry, a multi-million dollar industry of telling people that this is the Techeles based on Medrash that is contradicted by Halacha is not proper. That is the summary of his argument, and no one really has an answer for him. There are very few words, mamorim, statements in the body of halacha that talk about the chilozon, and all of them say basically there's no way. First, they say pretty much that the color of the chilozon is black. That's what it says. That's what it seems to say in Rashi, in the Gemaris, and I don't have all the details. And the description of what it says cannot possibly be the Chilozon. However, in the body of work of Medrash, which there's a major, I want to actually learn, I want to spend some time on this. We want to go back and spend some time on this topic and discuss the whole end of Medrash. There, that is where the thrust of all of the Rayos Berudos, that the Burex is the Chilozon. So he says that if there's no conflict between the Medrash and Halacha, of course, or the Halacha is silent, of course, follow the Medrash. But we have conflicting words, you're picking and choosing. And if you're gonna pick and choose, you have to pick and choose from Halacha, not from Medrash. So okay, it's a very nice thing to wear, but the degree of presentation, that this is it, is he feels very strongly is not correct. And he's made a lot of waves with his arguments. People have taken him very seriously. And when he goes to Eretz Yisrael, they he tells stories. Someone told me recently that he had a change of heart. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. Someone told me recently that he was chozer from something. I don't know. I have really no idea. But whether he was chozer or not, or whatever it is, I'm not denying the fact that many Gedolei Yisrael have embraced the lyrics. Okay, my own blood, Rabbi Herschel Schechter, the Gadol Yisrael, one of the Gedolei Yisrael, has embraced it fully, and many others, even in all different parts, all different shapes, all different parts of Klal Yisrael. The Reisman is really, he doesn't give in. He's a tough person. He's Yerid Lo'imka Shodover, and he's not satisfied. I'm just telling you something because this is something over here. There's a very important Minchas Shai. He says we have here a dilemma: is it one word or is it two words? The major ramifications how you translate the word. Oh, you want to go tell me Medrash? Really? You want to cite Medrash to prove your point? No way. That's not fair. That's illegal. That's not the way you do things in Judaism. There's a world of Medrash which is critical to our Hashkofa, Yadus, Derech HaChayim, but when it comes to practical Halacha, how you put the words down on the paper, don't bring Medrash into the equation. Because Medrash, his words are, this you can say exactly these words for every type of topic that you get that touches upon Halacha. Midrashei Agodah, Yesh Rabin. You want to call me a Medrash Rabba? I'll match it with a Tanchuma. You want to call me a Pirkei de Eliezer? I'll bring you a Medrash Seichel Tov. You want to go call, I'll match Rav Mendelovitz. For every Chazal that the Satmar Rav said, I can bring 10 Rayas HaKel. Don't talk to me about Mamori Chazal. It's a Hashkofa. It's a Mesorah. Everyone is entitled to their Mesorah. Kolakavod, your Messiah is this.
Nobody wants to let you.
I respect it. You have to learn from America. In America, you see that people, there's a lot to learn about forcing other people. Mm-hmm. Is it? I mean, I'm not telling you maybe yes, maybe yes, maybe no, but I'm just saying is we see it in front of our eyes in this country. Separate yourself from it, whatever you personally believe, for a moment, completely separate yourself, your beliefs. When you see in America a battle over these type of principles of this is what I believe, I'm right, and therefore everyone has to do what I want to do. And then there are people that say, you're wrong, and everyone should do what I want to say. And then there are people that say, do you do what you want? You do what I want. And then there are people that say, no, you can't let some people do what they want because it's going to trickle down. If not everyone is doing the same thing, there are problems. Everyone has to be consistent. You see this whole discussion of different groups of people with different beliefs and how they interact. And the truth is, when it comes to halacha, it's exactly the same. Exactly the same. Must it be that everyone does the same thing this way or that way? Can everyone do what they want? But it's contradictory. If you're going to do it your way, if you're going to follow the shita of Beis Shammai, then according to Beis Hillel, the person is a mamzer. When it comes to many halachas of Yibum, a mamzer. He's a mamzer, in my opinion. How? I cannot allow you to follow Beis Shammai. If I allow you to follow Beis Shammai, you're going to poison the whole Klal Yisrael. Because we're going to have mamzerim all over Klal Yisrael. So therefore, if it didn't affect me, I would let you. But it affects me. Who says it affects you? Keep to yourself. Okay, I'm not separating yourself from the whole thing for half a second. Whatever is right, whatever is the emphasis, who knows what the emphasis is. Whatever it is. But you see, in the world, it's a mamash, a mashal. It's a mashal for the world of halacha. All right, we're really way out of time. Tomorrow, it's Hashem, we will continue.
He doesn't
really
write big entry.
What?
He writes small entry.
He
writes a very big entry.
Yeah. No, he has a lot of stuff. Min Chashai is the whole Tanakh. Min Chashai.
Yeah, but he doesn't write 7-8 lines.